We need to understand is to distinguish the truths that are written in Paul's epistles to the truths, none of them are untruths, to the truths that are in other scriptures. Okay? When we can take this chart and we can understand that all of this is true, okay, every bit of it is, but there are dispensations that differ that we have to put in an order, or you can easily say, if you don't, that there would be contradiction after contradiction in the Word. And if we believe that the Bible is the authority of God's Word, how He speaks to us, that it's all truth and that it's all powerful, then we have to come to a conclusion somewhere as we study the Word that just because man says something doesn't make it right. Okay? But what the Word says is true. So you have to distinguish that Paul says things that are different, that are written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Hebrews, James, and all that. There is just some differences. The first thing I think of is in the Word of God in Matthew, Christ says, take no thought for what you shall eat, for what you shall wear, for all these things. He just, you know, what does Paul say? One that is not able to work for his own is worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
I mean, there are differences in this Word that you cannot act every bit of it out. So you have to distinguish what is in Paul's letters to those in the other Scriptures. And that's one way to rightly divide the Word in a correct way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This morning, my hope in the next couple of weeks is to talk about a word that we hear all the time in our life that if you just take every scripture that says Christian, you can be totally confused if it's taken out of context. Because there were Christians in the Jewish church, and there are Christians, I believe, today. And there is a proper way to be a Christian in times past that there were truths. And there are truths today in order to be a Christian that you would not follow in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so a lot of people use this word very flippantly as Christianity, as being Christ-like. Well, the thing that I want to show you through today through the Scriptures is where we have to be careful so we know exactly who's talking to who, because you can get very confused saying, well, it says Christian, so this is how it must be. Okay? Because there were Christians in the Jewish church also. In fact, the reference to the word Christian is usually spoken of to the Jew more than anywhere else in the Word. And so you have to be careful when you say, I'm a Christian, to what that person you're talking to may think what a Christian is. Okay? Most people today, if you ask them, what do you believe it is to be a Christian? You'll get 100 different answers if you ask 100 different people. And so we can't be just flippant with this word as though a Christian just means anything that the Word says it means, because you have to dispensate it. It has to be dispensed for which time you're speaking of. And so that's where I want to get to today. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, so I don't confuse anybody as if you don't think that I don't think all the Word's important, I want to touch on this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, now we know that all the Bible, by reading this, is equally inspired. It's all true from Genesis to Revelation. But there are certain books of the Bible that are written directly to Israel, and there are other books that are directly to the church, not just any church, the body of Christ. You have to divide those things when you see the word church, when you see the word Christian, when you see those words, you have to divide and put them in their right context, or it will confuse as if it's all written to you, directly to you for your mail. Which, of course, are Romans through Philemon that we need to understand, and also written by the Apostle Paul. The church, the body of Christ, is clearly that doctrine you will find in these letters. You will not find that doctrine in these letters. Why? Paul's not saved.
can't be your male if it's not. Now, we've read recently over the past few weeks that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, so we know that. He said to the Corinthians, "Be ye followers of me as I of Christ." We know he says that. We know we've read it. So even though we believe all this Bible is written for us, all the Bible we've got to understand is not written directly to us. If it mentions all ye of Israel, that ain't you. I mean, it's not that hard to understand. Until another denomination or an assembly or a fraternity or a club is what I call them, tells you that you're Israel. You have to understand those things because you're not. Extremely important that we understand this. So, let's remember we're told to rightly divide the word of truth. Everybody, of course, divides the Bible somewhere. Whether they say they do or don't, everybody divides the word somewhere. Okay? Most would do it between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know that. Okay? Remember also, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, that you must be able to wrongly divide the word of truth. So I want to look at some things this morning in Paul's epistles that we find with the body of Christ. We got to know right off the bat that Matthew through John is dedicated to the teachings of Jesus in His earthly ministry. Something that we've got to know by what we read. In Acts 1 through 8, we know that this is Christ's earthly ministry. In Acts 1 through 8, you have the 12 that are acting out the very things that Christ told them to do. Nothing changed, okay? Is if you study those letters, you have the 12 apostles carrying out the ministry that Jesus told them to. Then in Acts 9, we know something extremely happened, something very big. In Acts 9, the apostle Paul is saved. He was persecuting the very Jewish church that we talked about in Acts 1 through 8 before, okay? And he was very rebellious, right? We know when Paul was saved, what he had done before, you hear it talked about from a little kid all the way up. And I'm reminded in 1 Timothy 1:13, it says, "Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." Okay? So we know that this one that was saved, this all-important thing that happened, was from a person who was named Saul, whose goal was to stamp out the name of Christ for those doing what they were told to do. Yet God saved this apostle in Acts 9, and according to Romans 16, Paul was given a ministry. Okay? He was given a mystery. Okay? Romans 16:25. These are things that, before we get into the depths of the Word, that we have got to become confident in, that we have got to see it through the Word, not because I say it, but it's got to be known for you to be able to rightly divide this Word. In Romans 16:25, we've read it hundreds of times. The Apostle Paul says, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel." He doesn't mention Peter, James, and John. He doesn't mention Israel. He says, "My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery," which we know a mystery is something that's never been told before, or it's not a mystery at all, "which was kept secret since the world began." So we know if it's kept secret since the world began, that nobody could have known it before Paul, or this is a lie. Right? So something different had to happen. And so when we go to study the Word, we can't take for granted that when it says Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that it speaks to us, or this mystery that was given to Paul is not going to establish us in any way. Right? Because they were never established in it, or they would have gotten it before Paul, and if it was kept secret since the world began, then it had to be something that was different. Therefore, when you divide Paul's letters from those letters written before to Israel, and those letters when the church, the body of Christ, is taken out, they cannot be the same. If you tell me they are, show, just prove it to me, let me know.
And it's not been done in the 6 years that I've been rightly dividing the Word of God. From preacher to preacher that I know, from Facebook to Facebook, from work, from where we're at, I have yet for somebody, besides just saying you're wrong, you're preaching heresy, you're crazy, there's no way you're right, I'm just waiting for somebody to sit down with the Word of God that says it's the authority and show me in Scripture. It can't be done, or it would have been done within the last 6 years. Surely somebody would have cared enough about me to show me where I'm wrong. It can't be done. Because when you rightly divide the Word, you have to take into consideration that God's Word is absolutely perfect. That it's written by God, inspired by God, breathed by God. So you may not be locked for it, but at least you're free enough to know the truth. You know, what would you rather have as you end your life on this earth? To know that you know, or to wonder if you knew and had a lot of friends? Look, I'm telling you, as you get older, you'll realize to know what you know as being the truth is the most important thing you'll ever have. It's the only thing you'll ever have. It really is. Don't know that I could say that when I was younger because I was foolish when I was younger. I didn't care when I was younger. But as you get older, you start caring. It's hard to explain. I don't know how. But the peace that I have because of this is it's the greatest feeling in the world. So then, we know that Paul writes 13 books, Romans through Philemon. Very interesting also that he was the 13th apostle, I believe. I just think that's kind of neat. In those books, we can read how to be saved. He also tells the position of the church. He shares what the walk and the direction of the church, the body of Christ, is. And then, of course, on the same chart, in Hebrews through Revelation, what you have is Christ dealing with the nation of Israel after the church, the body of Christ, is gone. That's what you have. It deals with the tribulation period as well as the millennial reign of Christ. With this being understood then, the Word becomes easier to understand. If you can break this down, every time you open your Word and listen to somebody speak, if you can somehow keep this in your mind, I'm telling you, the Word will be easier to understand every time. Every time. Like I said, prove me wrong. I'd love to know. For 6 years, it's not happened. Many today think there are contradictions in the Word, and it's not a bit true. The truth is that there are things that are written to the church today that are not written or made known to Israel in times past. That's the truth. It was never a part of their plan. The confusion comes today because people did not rightly divide the Word of truth. They'll sit in and they'll teach Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they'll give you these rules that you cannot fulfill. Can't do it. There ain't no way. Israel couldn't. Let me tell you, if anybody knew the law, it was Israel. You can't do it. It just would not happen. But that's where the confusion is. The biggest confusion today comes from the religious world, and it centers around the doctrine of salvation. Get what I'm saying? The biggest confusion today in the world is because of religion and the doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of salvation is very easy. What does this body believe? A man is saved. How a man is saved. What a man must do to be saved. And that's the biggest issue today. If you go to churches, you can almost get along with anybody and you can disagree with anybody and go back and forth and be their friend. But I'm telling you, when it comes down to the doctrine of salvation, that's where you see the line drawn. In the religious world, there is church and denomination after denomination that will give you a different way to be saved. And that's why they're a denomination. Because a man has come up with the idea that he believes, no, this is how a person's saved. And another man comes up with the idea and says, we're not going there anymore because I don't believe that's how you're saved. I believe this is how you're saved. And on down the line through the tradition of man, every denomination has a new way or a different way to be saved. And most of those people are probably lost.
because they're counting on things that the Word doesn't say. What is it that a person today has to do to be saved? So I want to see, in saying that, most people will take you straight to where the Word talks about being a Christian. I want to break some things down. I want to look at some references to people being called Christians and understanding what it's saying. Go to Acts 11:26. In Acts chapter 11, 26, now I'm not going to get in a hurry here because we need to understand the book of Acts. It's exactly what it says it is. It's an act. It is the Acts of the Apostles. Okay? Peter, James, John, the 12, and also Paul. Okay? And in Acts 11, you see a flock, a group, that were called out, that was the real Israel, because why? They followed all the statutes of God. They were in the faith of God in the way that they proved it by their works. They had to do works of righteousness, such as baptism, circumcision. They took the Lord's Supper every day. They forsook all things. They sold all that they had. Okay? They gave them, and they were given to each man as they had need daily for them to live on. And when you get to Acts 11, okay, that's Acts 1 through 8. And then in chapter 7, they martyr Stephen. And those that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah are not considered Israel. They're not considered circumcision. They're considered uncircumcision. They're considered that as of just like the Jews. I mean, just like the heathen. Just like the Gentiles. You got to understand that. Peter, James, and John, when you read this word, they're not in the temple. Okay? They are part of this flock that has forsaken everything. Okay? And are trying to survive because they thought at Pentecost, Christ at that point was going to set His kingdom up. So they sold everything they had. You read in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, how this church is being added to. This flock, they're repenting. They're being baptized. But what did Peter say in 2:38? That all Israel had to believe. So was everyone that was Israel did not believe that kingdom wasn't coming? Was that going to ever happen? How in the world can all of Israel believe? Well, it's easy. That flock dies in their faith. Okay? And by the way, when they are resurrected, all of them will believe. And all of that true Israel, that true flock, will be in the millennial kingdom. Right? And they're going to be a kingdom of priests. But we are out of here before that happens. I didn't mean to say all that to get this, but in saying that, when you get to Acts 11, a lot of people think, well, after chapter 8, that's it. Well, they're still reading Peter, James, and John. They're still on the scene. And let's go to verse 19. So we can understand that Peter, James, and John didn't start teaching those things that Paul taught. And Paul didn't teach those things that Peter, James, and John taught. Paul's going through this book of Acts. He was going into the synagogues and he was telling them that he believed Jesus was the Christ. Because if they didn't believe that from him, they weren't going to believe anything from him. That's why he went to the Jew first, then to the Greek. But in Acts 11, we see in verse 19, it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, and Cyprus, and Antioch." Now get this. "Preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only." Now, in Acts 2, there are many denominations that believe the church started right there. Well, what I see and what I read in Acts chapter 11, that church could not have started for you in any way because they were still preaching no to nobody else but to the Jews only at this point. What does James... Hold your place here and just hit me. James chapter 1. 1:1. James 1:1. I just want you to see how the Word itself divides itself for us to understand if we slow down and read. Now hold your place in Acts chapter 11 and look at James 1:1. Look how the start of this letter is. He wants you to know who he's writing to. "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. What tribe are you of? You're not. You're a Gentile. Okay? Now, look at that in James 1:1. James, a servant of God, and who's he writing to? And to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. He's not greeting anybody else but the 12 tribes that are of Israel. Guess what? If you go back to Acts chapter 11, it fits perfect who they're talking to, doesn't it? They're not talking to the Gentile faith. So if the church started in Acts chapter 2, and Peter, James, and John preached the same thing that the Apostle Paul preached, then we would not see these letters that say in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." Why were they scattered? You know what they thought was going to happen after they stoned Stephen? They thought they also were going to be stoned. They got out of there, man. They had families. They had everything. At Pentecost, when people came, why did they have to speak in different languages? Because, again, those Jews who believed came to the feast. They had already been scattered out and around other tribes and around other people and had mixed and mingled and had other families and picked up the other languages. And so when they came, Peter spoke in other languages, and they understood, oh my goodness, this was the Messiah. What do we do? They were pricked in their hearts. Peter says, all Israel needs to repent and be baptized, and then you'll receive the power of the Holy Ghost. You see that picture? And you would think, if that's the new church, where there were Gentiles saved too, you sure wouldn't read this being to everybody if it says to none but the Jews only. That's it. There's no way you can mix these things. Look at it again. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Back up. Go to verse 1 in chapter 11. Now let me give you the picture here. And while we know Peter's not preaching to anybody else, in Acts 10, Peter goes to Cornelius' house. You can read this later. Cornelius is a Gentile. He's a Roman soldier. He's given alms to Israel. He became as a proselyte. He feared God. And so God says, "Peter, go to Cornelius' house." He says, "No way, Lord. I don't touch anything that's unclean." That's how they thought about the Gentile world. Okay? He does it three times. He also tells Cornelius, "Send some men to go get Peter." Okay? And to come. Right? Well, Peter does what he's called to do. He says, "God's no respecter of persons." And he thinks, well, this Gentile is going to come into this Jewish, and then we're coming out as a Jew, just like we read in Genesis 17 this morning, how anybody that came into the house could be circumcised, right? To follow what? This covenant that was between God and Abraham, which was passed on to Israel. Okay? And notice that Peter says, if you do this and work righteousness, you're in the family now. But do you think James and John and the others appreciated what Peter did, even though God told them? Glad you asked. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. "And the apostles and brethren," now this is after he went to Cornelius' house, "and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem," because he had been at Cornelius' house, "they that were of the circumcision," what did they do? They contended with them. They were... How did the church start in Acts 2? If we say that they're content, how did Paul preach the same thing that Peter, James, and John taught? If they contended with them. How in the world could this Gentile receive the word of God? Okay, because what's the issue? These guys are preaching the very thing that Christ told them to preach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in his earthly ministry. He gave them no mystery.
He gave them no revelation because this flock was still on earth, a body of believers that was going to become the church, the Jewish church, the Jewish Christians, okay, that at one day are going to set up a kingdom and be a kingdom of priests. So just because you see the word Christian coming up doesn't mean it pertains to you. You have to divide who the word's talking to. It can be confusing if you don't rightly divide. And so we see in verse 2, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them?" You know how much, how bad that was to them?
Yeah.
Give you an example. Hold your place here and go to Acts chapter 15. I thought it was in Acts 15. Now I'm going to be mad because I ain't going to find it. This is the point in verse 7 where Peter rises up and he defends Paul and says, the word must be okay with Paul to go to the Gentiles. But you will see from here on out in Acts 15, I may bring it out next week, I ain't got time to find it, and I'm already running out of time. One thing I noticed is they even, all through up to 15, you see Peter, James, John. Peter, James, John. Peter, James, John. Guess what Peter's name is now? Cephas. They changed his name. Hey, you went to a man's house that was a Gentile.